morning. Today is Monday, March the 29th. Joining us this morning is, well, from the real swamp, Rob Barkley. Good morning, sir. Does Louisiana have the color coding like California has?
Not that I'm aware of. I've had a tornado next to me as I was driving, and I looked out to my left, and by golly, there's a tornado. And I knew it had been bad weather, but there came the tornado.
Gotcha. No, I was referencing to the virus.
No such major. I think they go numerically 1, 2, 3, 4. And so we're on category 3, which is headed towards happiness.
Oh, 3 is, 4 is good, 1 is the nasty?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I've gotten my shots, so I'm getting to be pretty ambivalent about the whole thing.
Gotcha. As you heard the president's press conference last week, did you have any takeaways other than, I guess, sorrow?
I came across with a elder abuse. It was just awful, and I wouldn't do it to anybody I know. It was sickening, and I feel badly for Biden. I really don't think it was nice.
What are your buddies in D.C. saying? Is there going to be a puppet presidency? Are they positioning for Harris to step in? What are you hearing on the street there?
Well, right now, from what it appears, Soros is running the Democrat Party, so he's got a plan in place, and I just don't know what it is.
Oh, you don't have any operatives inside the DNC?
I just don't, and I was gratified to see John Boehner come out as strongly anti-Trump, which we knew for a while, but he finally did, so that was good.
Now, we're hearing a lot of discussion already about the midterms, that there's a lot of money's being used, positioning that's occurring, that the campaign season starts in a couple of months. Is that kind of what your read is on this also?
I think it's going to be a very difficult year for Democrats running for office. I could be wrong. It could be that they've thrown so much free money out that they're immune, but I just don't think so. I think what they're doing is not what people want. And so we'll just have to wait and see. The elections or the voting rules are being purged. A lot of things are being done. So we will see.
I was going to ask you about the voting rules because there's been so much attention associated with that now. Are they going to be cleaned up? Are they going to be expanded? Are we going to have all these variables that are being talked about, each state being independent and unique of one another in how they handle the voting rolls and the voting processes? I mean, it seems like a lot of the stables are now not quite so stable anymore.
Well, I'm not concerned about this concept of states doing what they want. That's what the legislatures are in charge of, voting standards. The changes without the unilaterally without the legislatures upset me greatly and continues to do so. But I don't think I just think the issue is going to be a different issue. The action is no longer in the federal criteria. The action's in the states, and that's where it's headed.
I had done a little quick calculation this morning with the most recent round of government largesse. Humboldt County is supposed to receive about $179 million with its residents. That seems like a pretty big chunk, but it also seems like a pretty big chunk that has to get paid back.
I just don't know where it's bucketed to go in Humboldt County. It's an interesting thing because it's not enough money to do the last chance grade, which is really critical. It's not even enough probably for the studies, is it, Brian?
No. I mean, this is to the individuals getting those $1,400 checks. Not government to government. That's a whole different dynamic, and I fear the number may be even larger, but we'll talk about that one when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, what kind of tenor do you sense in the heartland? Are people optimistic? Are they concerned? We keep hearing that it's still a red state versus blue states, and that a lot of community activities and governmental actions are reflecting whether or not they're blue or red. Do you have that sense also?
Yeah, there's a real conflict of visions and controls going on. Absolutely.
So how is that going to manifest itself over, let's say, over the next 4 or 5 years? We can step away from the political cycle, but it really seems like there are almost two different cultures at work here.
Perhaps a macrocosm of the differences in the view of our world. Flyover versus urban. And so it's just different approaches. I don't think anyone's impressed with what Gavin Newsom's done. I really don't. Or Cuomo. I think they've done a really poor job. Objectively, why don't they just let the businesses do this? This is what CVS, Walgreens, etc. do. They do masks really, really well, and that's their model. So I think it's a schism. I don't think it gets better. I think it gets worse, and we'll see. I'm interested in how the whole recall is going to come up with Newsom. I just don't quite understand it.
Do you think Cuomo survives?
I don't think he should. I think the outrage of New Yorkers is interesting, given that he got his family vaccinated at the head of the line. I think that might have been the final straw, but we're not hearing about it. So who knows? I'm not sure they really want to get rid of him or not. I can't tell.
Yeah, the story certainly has dropped off the front page, so to speak, in the last week or so.
Hasn't it, though? It was interesting, and my guess is he won't run for re-election, but he will stay in office.
And he'll be able to. He won't be thrown out by those that are as indignant as they say.
Momentum is out of the balloon there, doesn't it, to you?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly went from the golden boy, going to be challenging for the presidency, to does he even hold on to his current position? So,
yeah. Totally right.
What kind of sense do you have about the executive orders? Is that the new way to legislate when the legislature isn't going to go the way that you want it to?
Utilized as a substitute for legislation. It's not a permanent fix, and you saw with Trump's executive orders, Biden just undid them. Will the next president do the same thing, assuming it's a Republican? Probably. It's unfortunate. It's not effective. It's not what was intended. And I don't think the courts are going to allow this broad executive order discretion that they've talked about.
I think that would make sense. I'm thinking, you know, rarely do we make this statement, but I feel frustrated on behalf of staff, you know, federal government staff. You know, today it's this, tomorrow it's that, and it's just a whipsaw going back and forth. Whatever efficiencies they may have been able to develop go out the window.
Well, I do not feel the slightest bit sorry for the government bureaucrats. I really don't. They have too much deference as it is. The Chevron deference doctrine has been a disaster. In other words, they kind of do what they want and predominantly are Democrats, so they're kind of unregulated. I just think we've got to reel these executive orders in, start legislating, and do real stuff. That's what was intended, Brian.
Well, I guess I didn't take it far enough. We've got the staff doing that. I'm thinking of how it might play out at the local level. They're telling local business people, okay, this is what you have to do, or local folks, and then tomorrow the answer is 180 degrees the other direction. So the whipsaw that they're stuck in the middle of, that we're in the middle of, that just kind of flows from Washington, D.C.
It does. I should be so hard on some of these things. They're our next-door neighbors, and they certainly deserve our respect and cooperation and absolute sympathy. But I will say, as a class, the most successful entrepreneurs in the United States are the bureaucrats. They have grown their needs and businesses beyond anything we can imagine. They are true entrepreneurs. The big difference is it's with our money, not theirs.
Question about the funding that the government gave to local jurisdictions. Is that something that was needed, or is that something that might be a little bit more of a gift?
Need is a relative item. You and I would say it's not needed. They would say it's imperative for their very survival. So it's just, like I say, a conflict of visions.
It's all perspective. And that's such a big word, I'm not even going to try to spell it. KINS, News and Information Time.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley. Talk shop presented this morning by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Rob, taking a look at kind of the overall, one of the things that I have heard from a number of folks, and I'm sure you're connected into the industry also, is that this is going to be a very robust year for the travel and leisure market. People have got the itch, and they're going to go. They may not go international. They may not go cross-country. But by golly, we're going to get out of Dodge, and we're going to at least remember what it's like to see other places and break up the routine. You feeling that and sensing that also?
Oh boy, am I? Yes, it's ready to explode out there, don't you think?
Yeah, it's. You know, they talk about the real estate bubble, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is something that could may not catch us up from last year, but it's going to make a lot of those folks in those industries whole again if they can find the staff to be able to service that marketplace.
It is hard to find staff right now because we're not running into it, but I hear more people say we just can't get what was heretofore $10 to $15 labor. We can't fill our need. And so it's an interesting point in time.
What is the minimum wage in Louisiana? Okay, so it's significantly less than what it is in California. And the impact would be expanded or more profound in states such as Louisiana then.
Yeah, the impact is absolutely dramatic right now. It is causing great angst. And there's not a place you go that doesn't have a help wanted sign.
Do the state electeds, do they understand what's going on, or are they as isolated in that state as they are in California?
I think there is a general, first of all, most of the free money is coming from the federal government. So the state electeds don't seem to be as engaged because there's very little they can do to move the needle. In other words, the feds are flooding the system with cash.
Right, but they set the minimum wage.
You know, that's right. No one's talking about the minimum wage right now. The market alone, you know, good old Adam Smith's, the invisible hand of the market is setting the minimum wage higher than the minimum.
Oh, certainly. I'm curious about is some of the restaurants and the some of the other business niches that are either relying on seasonal, you know, like maybe the parks and rec department, you know, with the kids running the playgrounds and that kind of stuff, that all of a sudden it's not something that's feasible for them with their economic models to be able to do anymore.
You know, that's a great question, and I just don't quite know how it's working. Cher and I don't have per se. We're just not out and around that way. That and it's something that's a good question, and I just don't know.
Think grandkids here.
I am thinking grandkids, but the grandkids are in school, which is different than California. California, I think I heard that one of the schools is opening in April 10th or so, somewhere in there, and that'll be a big break. I know the mothers, fathers, and the kids are excited to do something. I've heard that comment.
Well, yeah, from what I've been told is if you stayed open, you are still open. A lot of the Fortuna and Ferndale have been open the whole way. St. Bernard's has been open the entire time. Eureka is doing a 50-50, you know, 50% virtual, 50% in-house. The state schools, the lab classes are now on site, but the others are doing virtual. So it's this really weird hybrid that I think has the opportunity to reset the national educational model. Which, you know,
well, it's very interesting that you bring that up. And I listen to NPR to kind of hear where things are going. I know it's Brand X, and I apologize. But we're starting to hear the virtues of off-site learning on the Internet and how some kids really prefer it to everything. And so I assume the teachers' unions are pushing that. Since I think NPR is substantially, a parrot for the teachers' union's positions. So you're right about that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the model is. I mean, certainly the agrarian has been a dated model for decades. That if maybe this is what kind of pushes it, and it's a whatever it is, it's different.
Well, it is different, but one thing, if I were a teacher, I'd be scared to death. And these guys don't seem to be scared to death, because who's to say we can't have enroll in a nationwide education project and kind of do away with a lot of these classrooms and teachers? I mean, why do we need teachers per se? It might be that we're evolving towards a time when we don't need teachers as many, or a tiny, tiny fraction. It's kind of what's happening to the universities, and they don't even see it coming.
Yeah, well, that would be you've got the whole concept with the University of Phoenix.
Absolutely.
It is as a prototype or one of many. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Rob Barkley.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley. Rob, on the local front a little bit, how do you see this new fiber optic cable that's coming across the pond isn't just the Atlantic, coming across the pond from Asia? Is this going to be a jump starter for Humboldt County?
I find it exceedingly disturbing that we're having to compete with the Harbor District for it. They should be facilitating things, not competing with us. But it's a very, very big deal.
The spinoffs. We keep hearing that one side thinks there's going to be a lot of it and is excited, and the other side thinks that there's going to be a lot of it and they are already trying to position this thing as something we may want to reconsider.
That's California. I mean, for every positive thing, there is a negative group, and you just have to deal with it. I don't see where this cable is a controversial item, but we'll see.
I don't think it's cable necessarily. I think it's the change in the economic structure locally, and that perhaps some of the things that have been, and this is my conjecture, acceptable in the past, all of a sudden are going to be put into question as we do attract more and more people in those ancillary or associated businesses, and we start to get the ripples out to 5 and 6 different separations.
County is the wealth effect, and like, people aren't going to put up with these crappy apartments. People are wanting nicer things, and so I think we're seeing the wealth effect of new business. Do people want change? This change ought to be seamless. There are people fleeing California. Those who aren't fleeing are coming to Humboldt County. They don't want to be in these big cities. They've wrecked these big cities. They are destroyed. And, you know, I remember in the early 90s, New York was pretty miserably run down. It took 20 years to really bring it back. I don't know how California brings it back. They've got an irrational tax code. Humboldt County is a beautiful place to live if they don't regulate us to death.
Yeah.
You can make a living.
Yeah, exactly. I ran into somebody at the dog park. Well, I didn't run in. Talking with somebody at the dog park last night. And she and her family had moved here from Denver because she had been on the coast for a while. But she said, no more big city. Tired of the games. Looking for simplicity. and Humboldt County and Eureka fit the bill.
That is a national move, and the globalists really despise that move. They're going to fight this. They want us in one place, and this election was not about anything other than globalism, as far as I can tell. It was the globalists versus everybody else, and they don't want borders. They just want to kind of be there. So I think it all fits into the same fabric. I'm very optimistic about where we are and where we're headed. I think Humboldt County is going to absolutely fly. And there was a time when you could argue that the lumber companies or the fish companies kept salaries down. No one has a concentration of power anymore. And so, consequently, I think it's going to fly. I think it's a great place to live. And the people are so fantastic. So I'm pretty optimistic.
Good deal. Well, we can't end it on a better note than that. Appreciate the time, appreciate the effort, and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll see you when we do.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See everybody else tomorrow morning.